Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elizabeth Estey, Congresswoman from the Connecticut 5th District, and I want to start by asking you a whole bunch of things. So take a minute on each, okay?
Sure.
Or maybe a little bit more. Eric Cantor's loss.
Cantor's loss is simple. Tip O'Neill is right. All politics is local. Eric Cantor should not have been sitting in a Starbucks in Washington, D.C. on the day of election. That's an example of not paying attention to your district. I am home every single weekend out meeting with folks, listening to what people's concerns are, whether it's at the Avon Library last weekend or at the Elks Club a couple of days before that at a ceremony recognizing a fallen firefighter, or at the Wolcott 75th anniversary of their fire department. You need to be listening to folks. You need to be home and grounded in the concerns of the people you have the honor of representing. And Eric Cantor forgot that, and he got punished. And you know what? He deserved to be.
Okay, let's stop with that. I can't say that I think you're wrong, except to add one little thing, and I say the curse of so many politicians gone wrong is just a sense of arrogance.
Yep, and, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know what? And the voters are not wrong to punish that.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Iraq. What a mess.
Absolutely. It is a mess, and it is a stark reminder of the consequences of military intervention into sectarian situations like that. It is a tragic reminder of the limitations and the consequences of, I would say, that ill-advised intervention in the first place. We have spent over $1 trillion in Iraq. We have loss of American lives and tens of thousands of Iraqis and others in the surrounding area. And we need to be exceptionally careful about intervention there now. I am opposed to boots on the ground. Let me make very clear. The president has said he is too. I want to hold him to that. He needs to consult with us. We, of course, need to defend our personnel in embassies and consulates. But, again, the Iraqi people are going to have to step up to the plate and figure out how to get along with each other. And we cannot do that from Washington, D.C.
We as a country, what responsibility do we have in a country where clearly, you know, vast majorities don't want us there? Who are we to intervene? I guess you and I probably are on the same page on this.
Well, there are humanitarian concerns we need to consider, and certainly U.S. national security interests. And we do need to think about what the consequences are of dramatic instability in that or any other part of the world. But again, it is a reminder of the limitations of imposing from the outside order on another society.
What should we do, Elizabeth?
We should get really good intelligence. So I hope we've got eyes and ears in a lot of different ways on what's going on. We're going to have to work in concert with other countries and get their cooperation in defusing the situation. And Prime Minister al-Maliki, frankly, has got to step up and include all of the voices at the table. And that's been a huge part of the problem there, a continuation of sectarianism there and the government choosing sides, which they really cannot do.
Are you pleased with the way the president has handled this and the way Secretary Kerry has handled this?
I am a believer that Congress needs to play a more robust role in foreign affairs. I've been pretty clear about that. Have voted for and called for consultation with Congress, and will continue to do so. Let me leave it at that.
Okay. I think I heard something there. The Veterans Administration, you know, I think most people can sort of come to the conclusion that we haven't done right by our vets.
I would agree. We have not done enough. And those who have served us, we have both an honor and obligation to serve. Now, I have been very, very closely monitoring in Connecticut our own situation with waiting lists and with support. I am pleased to say at this point, actually, Connecticut has had less of a backlog. Connecticut is doing better than most states. But again, there's no excuse at any point. What happened was reprehensible. Those responsible, sounds to me, may need to be criminally prosecuted for what happened in Phoenix. But at the end of the day, it is not enough for members of Congress to vote for and trumpet that they're supporting vets. People need to be providing resources each and every day. And I have to say, we've been successful in getting back $500,000 for veterans who I have the honor of representing to help them with their VA benefits. So now, if you're a veteran and you hear my voice and you live in the 5th District of Connecticut, if you have any issues, whether it's with medical care or disability benefits or survivor benefits, please call my office because it's something that I've made a real mission and hope to do more.
Is it part of what you've seen with the veterans that tempers your boots-on-the-ground remarks of earlier? In other words, that horrible things can happen to these men and women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually just had a telephone town hall last night, and two Vietnam War vets called in and made exactly that point and said it is breaking their hearts to think about how traumatic it must be right now for the young men and women who came back severely injured to see and contemplate that we might be going back in. And, you know, I have a niece who was in Kabul who just came back, thank God. And, you know, other than some hearing loss, she was driving a truck, and believe me, that it's not a quiet thing when bombs are going off around you. My dad was a Navy vet. I have a brother-in-law who spent 5 years as a physician, as a psychiatrist, doing nothing but traumatic brain injury and PTSD cases from Iraq and Afghanistan.
So we don't.
And he has told me there. You know, we're talking about 20-year-olds who will need treatment and care for the rest of their lives, for 60 or 70 years. And I hope every member of Congress thinks about that when they vote to commit someone else's children to go to war.
There are not enough docs. We know that now. Do you believe that in the case where there's a backlog, we should privatize?
We should allow private care, and I have voted to do that, to allow vets who have been delayed in seeking treatment to be able to get compensation to go to private providers. And I'm also the proud author, actually, of a bill in the House that would help compensate family caregivers. It's, you know, many, many times vets prefer to be cared for at home. Our state, Connecticut, I helped push through when I was in the legislature a money follows the person proposal to allow folks with Medicare who were in nursing homes to then still get some support at home with periodic nursing at home. That's the same kind of proposal that we should really be supporting for the Veterans Administration.
So we have a minute and a half, Elizabeth Esty. I wanted to ask you one more thing. I know I'm jumping around all over the place. I know that the MTA is a big story in Connecticut, and safety on the trains and the commutation. You got a minute to tell us, are we making any progress?
We are making some progress, but I'll tell you, it is unacceptable to think we have to choose between safety and reliability and speed. It's just a false choice, and anybody who thinks we can only have one or the other is not thinking about what this country needs. We need to have a safe and reliable transportation system, but frankly, we would be lucky to even have the mid-1950s rail system right now, because basically we're looking at catenary power lines that are 100 years old, the Norwalk Bridge, which has gotten stuck. Most recently, a couple of weeks ago, stranding Congressman Himes, is 118 years old. The bridge, not Congressman Himes. The bridge is 118 years old. That is absurd to think that, you know, to think that we are relying on a major artery for the entire East Coast of the United States. So this country has got to step up and fund a robust 21st century transportation infrastructure.
Okay, but we only have a second. So are we going to do it?
I hope so. I'll tell you, I'm working on it every day, working with the Republican chairman of the committee, Bill Schuster, who has come several times to Connecticut. We're getting him back again in this fall to help work and figure out what we can do to get the system up and running reliably and safely.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, one of our favorite people to have on the show from Connecticut's 5th District, always right there, tells you what she's thinking, and no shilly-shallying. And we appreciate that so much, Elizabeth Esty. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Alan. Always a pleasure.